Moncrief on News Talk.
The Hillsborough disaster. 97 people lost their lives in a tragic crush at a football match. And when the newspaper The Sun wrongly blamed Liverpool supporters, the city boycotted the newspaper, a boycott that still exists to this day. So Lucas Paulo da Silva, a researcher in Trinity College, set out to discover if this had an effect on voting intentions and attitudes in the city. Lucas, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
So the period of time you covered was from when to when? From the before the boycott, I assume, to at some point after the boycott.
That's right. Yeah, it started in 1983. Is my data starts then. The boycott was in 1989, as you said, and then the data goes all the way till 2004.
Right.
So we get a pretty large amount, a pretty large time span there.
Yeah, and when the boycott went into place, how much did the sales of The Sun was that reduced by in Liverpool?
It was reduced considerably. So there was a reduction, for example, in the sort of core audience. There was a reduction from like the core demographic that would read The Sun. It went down from 25% all the way down to about 8%. So,
okay.
And there were estimates that it reduced it by about 80% overall.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And how do you kind of sort out then whether The Sun is directly responsible for a set of attitudes or something else might be responsible for those sets of attitudes?
So that's exactly the biggest challenge for any kind of study like this that's using what we call a natural experiment, is there's so many other things that could be going on, so many other forces that could affect support for Labour and other political attitudes. So what I use is called a quasi experiment. It's called triple differences, and basically it just compares people who would have been the core audience to The Sun in Liverpool to people who were not the core audience before and after, and then it compares them to the same groups of people in other parts of northern England who were not exposed to the boycott.
Okay.
So by doing that, we kind of isolate the effect of the boycott rather than all the other changes that would have happened, deindustrialization and all sorts of other forces at work there.
Yeah, and but say there may have been, it strikes me there was one factor specific to Liverpool in the mid-80s. It was like Derek Hatton and Militant taking over the city council for a few years there, which may have led to a view among some Liverpudlians that Labour is an extreme left party.
That's exactly right. So that's why we look at people in Liverpool. We look at their core audience, the Sun's core audience, and then people who were not part of the audience, because those groups would have both been exposed to Militant in Liverpool.
Mm.
And so by looking at the difference in their attitudes, their political attitudes during that time period, then we can still kind of estimate what the effect would have been.
Yeah. So, but we can take it that your average Sun reader would probably tilt towards being a Tory voter anyway.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
So what kind of a change did you see? Was it in their voting habits or just in their attitudes?
So the kind of overall picture that I was looking at was how does it affect their voting behavior? And I did find a significant effect there with about 16%, 16 to 19% change among that audience that would have been reading The Sun. So that is very large. I mean, when we talk about elections, it's often, you know, very marginal differences that can completely make or break an election. But even more importantly, I look at the kind of why did people's voting behavior change? So through what mechanisms did that happen? And I look at two mechanisms. One is, did media change people's political opinions, right? Did they change their ideological opinions? In my case, I look at their perspectives on trade unions, which of course was a big issue of the day at the time. And then I also look at their opinions on redistribution, welfare, taxation, and the EU. And I do find an effect, about 24% of change in opinions on trade unions. I find smaller effects on some of those other issues. But the biggest effect, what I found, and this is, I think, what I would like people to take home is on people's perceptions of party positions. So people in Liverpool who were exposed to this boycott became about 30% more likely to view Labour as moderate compared to these other groups that I talked about.
Mm.
So that can make a very big difference, because we know from other research that when people perceive a party as more moderate, they're more likely to support that party.
Yeah, though that also would have come through a period where Labour did become more moderate. It was the Blairite years.
Yeah, so the end of the time period, certainly Labour was becoming more moderate. But we see these effects already before New Labour.
Mm.
And also, of course, by controlling for all these other variables, and also by doing the kind of the triple differences, I try to remove all of those other effects.
Mm.
And even after doing all of that, we still see this very big 30% change in perceptions of party positions.
The people, though, who stopped reading The Sun, what newspaper did they go to, generally speaking? Would it have been the Daily Mirror, which I suppose was its biggest tabloid rival in those days?
That's right. So that's why this natural experiment kind of works, is because they didn't... Normally, you would think they would switch to another sort of right-wing newspaper, but the biggest competitor was the Daily Mirror, which was kind of center-left at the time. And so there was this big difference in exposure to ideological media.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's interesting, though, that it did seem to have an effect in certain areas, maybe not so much of an effect, say, in things like attitudes towards the European Union. How does one explain that?
Yeah, so there were moderate effects on attitudes to the European Union. What really I didn't see any effects on was on redistribution, which of course is something that political scientists talk about all the time. Economists talk about all the time, right? Taxation, welfare, and so on, government spending. And the reason, I mean, I couldn't test this. I didn't have the data to test this. But my hunch is that it's because, you know, The Sun is a tabloid. It might not have been talking all that much about some of these kind of budgetary issues.
Mm.
It might have been talking a lot more about trade unions, you know, criticizing trade unions, and also the EU and criticizing the EU. And that would have been something they would have covered a lot more.
Yeah. Whereas the Daily Mirror isn't going to be going, the EU, it's great.
Right.
Perhaps have a slightly more neutral attitude.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, though, that the media could be so influential. Or is that what you took from it? That switch your media and you'll switch your attitudes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're very powerful, Sean. The media is powerful.
Yes, my wand is underneath the desk here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's one of the lessons I took away from this, was the power of media to influence elections. Now, of course, people do tend to select media they already agree with.
Mm, can be a chicken and egg thing, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So that reduces the effect. But when you have a situation like this where people switch from one type of media to another, you definitely can see these really powerful effects, and specifically on certain types of perceptions, right? So perceptions of party positions changed quite a bit, whereas ideology changed a little bit less.
Yeah, yeah, that is interesting. Lucas, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was Lucas Paulo da Silva there, a PhD researcher in political science at Trinity College.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.